You're listening to The Zeitcast, a podcast with Jonathan Martin that aims to speak to the spirit of the moment we are in. Thank you for joining us today. Cold as we prepare for the winter and the ice and snow that is to come. I'm recording this in the week of Thanksgiving, where, like many of you, I'm thinking about those who I may not be able to be with physically this season, or the differences and changes that the coronavirus and our current challenges put upon us. As we start this episode, or prior to, I'd like to encourage you that wherever you are and however this epidemic finds you, that you're not alone, and that there's a community of people who are lifting you up, standing alongside of you. I know Jonathan and I both pray for all of you every day, and that God is with you, and that in the deepest ways possible, God is climbing inside of that isolation or that anxiety, that pain or sickness, that rejection, rage, and bitterness that you might be feeling right now. And God is holding you and holding space, that liminal space, for you to be. So, as we come together today into this wonderful episode, we just want to say that you are so loved. And during this week of what for us normally would represent a gathering, holiday time of some sort, maybe a time with friends or family. If that is your normal and that isn't going to happen this year, just know that you're not alone and that you're loved. On to today's episode. Today features a conversation that was recorded with Jonathan and our guest, Brittany Spencer, a few weeks ago. Brittany is a return guest of the Zeitcast and is beloved by our community, so she needs very little introduction from me. But Brittany, as you know, is a singer-songwriter living in Nashville. She is a partner with and participant in the Common Hymnal community, and has recently started blowing up, as Jonathan references in the episode. Brittany is an incredible artist, an incredible singer, an incredible songwriter, and deserves every ounce of attention she's getting, and much, 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 much more. Recently, her song, Sorries Don't Work No More, has absolutely taken off, folks like Brandi Carlile and many others on social media have taken notice of of Brittany's incredible talent. So today not only features a conversation with Jonathan and Brittany talking about her work and her perspective, the songs that she's writing, but also features a few of her songs. We've tried to mix those as well as possible, but as you can imagine over Zoom, friends, it certainly does no justice to the beauty of her art and her work. So without further ado, thank you so much for being with us and welcome back to the Zeitcast.
Me this morning because one of my very best friends in the world is with us, Brittany Spencer. I think most of you by now are familiar with her. Whether you are or you're not, you are in for a treat because she's one of my favorite singer-songwriters for a reason, not just because I love her as a human being, though she is a dazzling human being. But I'm telling you right now, Brittany is blowing up, which is great. I told her actually a few minutes before we started, and I've been saying this to her for years. You know, I'm really, and this is actually a real kind of a thing for me right now. Like, I don't equate success in any form with God's blessing. That's not how I think. But I also think, like, you know, there are some people in the world, and Brittany's one of them, who has such a remarkable talent. I've kind of been telling her for years, I so believed, like, she was going to make it and, like, really make it. It's kind of like, okay, if you don't make it, I don't really know how to believe in anything, because this, like, the songs are there and the way she sings them from such a soulful place. I tell you guys, I love introducing people to Jesus and to Brittany Spencer. How's that for an introduction? I do. I love introducing people to Brittany and to her songs. And one of the things I thought specifically about the time that we would have here this morning, you know, I'm wearing my God Is Not Abusive t-shirt, and that song, her song, God Is Not Abusive, I know has been one that's really been one that people in our community have clung to because the theology of that song has been so important for them. But, you know, I told Brittany about today, especially as, you know, she put out a single a few weeks ago that is doing great, that I really love. I've never had a conversation with Brittany that I don't feel like is spiritual, because I feel like Brittany lives from a place of deep soul, and that's where we talk from, and that's where she writes songs from. So I told her I just wanted to come and do her thing. So if that means some tracks like God Is Not Abusive that are a little more theological in nature, great. But some of the things that aren't like as directly theological are still deeply spiritual. And part of what I thought would be fun to do this morning in particular, because I feel like I've been doing a lot of very preachy things, and here at the table, really, we really are all about living at the intersections, is that not only for Brittany to play the songs, but then for us to do like what we did for so many hours when I lived for Nashville three or four days or nights rather out of the week, and we just talk so late about these things, is that not only kind of jamming out the songs, but then just see what comes out of that in terms of just talking, because I feel like that's where a lot of the beautiful stuff really happens. But Brittany, you know how much I love you, and I'm so thrilled that you would take this time to be with us. It's always an honor. So welcome, Brittany. I'm so, so happy that you're here.
Thank you for having me. I love you, Jonathan.
I love you too.
Thank you. I guess, is this the part where I play a song?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Inside our pain, When her goes lead to silence, bearing guilt from mother's sins, Lord, lift my voice to cry out. Spirit, catch the tears that fall. Sees my charm and holds my broken pieces and draws me to his kindness. Hallelujah. Come takes no pleasure in our shame. He finds a place inside our pain. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brittany. You know, I love that song so much. I'll never forget the first time I heard it, and just getting to be in proximity with you and the Common Hymnal crew and working some of those songs out. I mean, that song is like, it, first of all, I've seen it have this effect so many times, the way that it breaks people open the first time that you hear it, which is interesting because I feel like God is not abusive, doesn't even sound like a lyric. I mean, it's like a mouthful. But when you hear it in context of the song, goodness. I mean, it's just devastating. Surely at this point, the song's been out there just long enough to where you've seen the way it kind of works its magic on people. What do you think that's about? I'd love for you to say a little bit about both kind of the, because I know you've seen it, the sort of visceral way people respond to the song, what you think's happening there, and a little bit about where this song comes from for you.
Yeah, honestly, watching people's response to the song and watching people connect to it, it's done something to me, just personally. The song is about sexual abuse. It was the first song that I had written where I was actually, where I actually put my experience, part of my life experience, in a song. And I did it with Ben Hardesty and with Isaac Gill, who are also part of Common Hymnal. We wrote it at my kitchen table. And it's, I mean, even just the story of how this song came together is kind of a full story in itself. But I don't know, when people connect to it and when they're open about it, I always think, wow, you're brave. That's how I think. I think it takes bravery to say that God is not abusive, because if we look around and we take the world for face value, it looks like he might be, in my opinion. Mm. And so it's like, oh, you're brave. Oh, you've committed yourself to this faith. You've committed yourself to this way of living. Because, you know, I'm not into theology at all. Theology is like someone trying to like speak a whole different language to me. I don't understand it. Mm. That's why I'm grateful to have people like you where you can answer some questions for me. Cause I'm like, Jonathan, how the hell, what is this? But, it feels like a really bold statement when I see people connecting with this song and just openly talking about how God is not abusive and allowing themselves to embody what I think is the message of the song, in that since God isn't abusive, then maybe I should just try a little bit every day to not be as well. That's kind of the goal. I know it's much easier said than done, but everyone has experienced some sort of abuse, whether it's verbal, physical, sexual, mental, psychological abuse, all kinds of manipulation, and you know, people just get used up. People just get used up. And so committing to this allows us to, I think, take on the brave and honestly, I think the bold notion that I want to actively not abuse people, but also I want to actively try and make sure that I don't put myself in a position to be abused as well. And so it's, I don't know, seeing people connect with this song has changed me in a way. Those aren't just words that I'm saying. I really truly do mean that when I didn't know people would connect with this song.
It's really, you know, Brittany, when you talk about like not, you know, theology kind of being a different language, I mean, it really is, it's such a powerful statement theologically, and it's bold on a couple of different levels, because I think, well, even like on a, like psychologically, it's kind of a big thing to say, because I think on some level, and not that everybody has to have some kind of faith, but statistically, most people do still believe in some version of God. And I think realistically, whoever you identify as some kind of an authority in your life, as some kind of authority figure, however they treat you, that's going to sort of be wrapped up into how you think about God. So I think, like, especially for people who have experienced like any kind of profound form of abuse, to make a statement that, okay, even if authority figures have treated you like that, God is not like that. Knowing that that's fundamentally where we go, is that we're going to project, like, if I've experienced this from authority figures in my life, then I'm going to assume that if there is some larger force of love and logic out there, then probably that it's going to be like that too. So I feel like it's a big thing to say, and it's a lot too, Brittany, just in terms of, you know, when you talk about that kind of coming from your own story. And I think that's part of, you know, and I talk a lot about living in the intersections, but I feel like the fact that, you know, you have this song that is so candid about sexual abuse and it's so vulnerable in that way, but at the same time, it is such a worship song. There is such a sense of like invitation. I think what I'm trying to ask, Brittany, is like, does that come natural for you? Like, where did you learn to do that in terms of being able to take experiences that are really difficult, that are really painful, and like to have that and spirituality coexist within a few bars? Like, where does that come from for you?
I think a lot of this started when I started writing with Common Hymnal. I treated Common Hymnal in the very beginning when I got there. I thought, oh, this is a space where I can say some things that that are on my mind that I don't think people would want to hear in a song. Because I moved to Nashville from Baltimore, my hometown, specifically to pursue country music. And so when I met Malcolm Duplessis, who heads up Common Hymnal, and I started kind of seeing that a lot of the center focus of the writing here was kind of centered around like social justice and just humanity and how we treat people and how we try to not have cliche statements in Christian music. Because I, if I'm honest, I don't listen to Christian music. That's the last thing I listen to. I don't really listen to it. So I thought, oh, okay, cool. It was, I don't know what it is, and this might sound so terrible, but there was a great degree of separation between me and Christian music. So I didn't walk into it with such a tight grip. Like, it wasn't like a thing where I was like, I have to write a good song. Like, that wasn't the case at all. I didn't care about Christian music. Yeah. And so I was like, you know, there was a freedom that came with it. If I look back, just like, you know, in hindsight, there was a freedom that came with not feeling like I had to own any particular thing or style. And so I found myself saying, okay, what do I think about God? And when you go into co-writes, you never know what's going to happen. And trying to put all that into words and trying to merge all of my worlds together through a song, I think that it came naturally when I got real with myself and when I got real, I don't know, when I got real with where I was in life, when I got real with God, it was just, I guess, I hope I'm explaining this correctly. It's just Common Hymnal is so unique in that way. It's so unique in that way, in that a lot of times, I mean, you and I have talked about like just the idea of compartmentalizing, and how you and I are like really intentional about decompartmentalizing our lives. Because a lot of times people will say, oh no, this song is for here, or this topic is good here. And we'll do that with our lives. And I think artists, a lot of times we do that as well. But when I came to this place, I was so separated from Christian music and what I thought it was at that time, that I thought, oh, what happens when I let some of my worlds merge together? What happens if I bring my gospel influence from growing up in church, and when I bring all of my country music endeavors, and when I bring where I am right now in life? Because I mean, at the time I wasn't going to church. I'm not like church hurt or anything like that. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't like the person who stopped going to church because something terrible happened. That wasn't me. I just woke up one day and was like, I actually don't really like this. And I just found myself enjoying brunch more and enjoying conversations like this more. And I started realizing that there was so much spirituality around me that wasn't within the confines of a church. And so I guess the long way to get to the point of your question, I learned how to do that because I learned how to merge my worlds, and I learned how to not compartmentalize, and I listened to the people around me. And at the core of the formation of that is Common Hymnal.
I love that. Well, of course, and I think I know a lot of people are familiar with, everybody's not, like, I mean, all of the Common Hymnal projects and songs you need to check out. The work is so significant. But also, this is a good segue, Brittany, because we're going where I think you're going to go next song-wise. And maybe even this question, and like, this is a real question. Like, I don't know how you'd answer this. I'm very curious because I feel like everything that happened. And I think this is part, it makes so much sense of why some of the collaborative stuff that you have done with Common Hymnal has been especially powerful. It's like, you weren't setting out to do anything like, let's reform Christian music, because you didn't care about it. Like, you're just trying to make human music and soul music that tells the truth, which is what you do. This is in a faith space context where people are writing about God and spirituality, and you're a truth teller, and your music tells the truth in a beautiful poetic way. So it's kind of what you do, but you didn't come in caring about it too much. Like, the energy wasn't like, it's not against energy. It's not like you weren't trying to figure out some kind of formula. You are who you are. You do what you do. I'm curious though, like, as to what it's like for you, because you've had this dream of being a country artist for such a long time, and those songs have always been bubbling up in you, that now that you've had this whole kind of a you know, fairly lengthy season of being pretty immersed with Common Hymnal, where I feel like a lot of what is happening is kind of a reinvention of what gospel music can be, what Christian music can be, and people are saying like, oh, these are the songs I've been looking for all my life, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the country thing is really happening, and those songs are being heard. And I'm just curious as to what that experience is like for you, how that's different, or if it all feels like it's part of, like, part and parcel of the same project for you, kind of moving in and out of those spaces.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's complicated, but for the most part, I've just told myself that if I do what I want to do, and if I do the things that I love, then I'll be okay. If that makes sense, I take my artistry very seriously. But I don't take myself so seriously in the sense where I'm holding on to so many things, or in this case, I'm not holding on to country and holding on to just my experience of Common Hymnal with such tight grips to where I can't let go, because then I'm going back to compartmentalizing. And so I just try to be true to who I am. I think a lot of times people don't know how to recognize when an artist is multifaceted, or when an artist is just not a monolithic person. Like, you know, I'm a country artist, but I'm from Baltimore. I grew up in church in the hood. You know, I found out about Dixie Chicks, now the Chicks. I found out about them when I was like 14 or 15 years old. And you don't outgrow your roots. You know, you just find ways to plant yourself in different places, but you don't trying to outgrow your roots, you'll be running from yourself for the rest of your life.
Wow. Right.
And I'm not trying to do that. I just want to find a way to make my story make sense and at least palatable for people who are trying to understand how in the world a person like me kind of balances all these different musical dynamics. So I don't know. I try my best. It's a little complicated sometimes, like I said, but for the most part, I just do what I want.
Yeah. I love that about you, Brittany, because I do feel like I'm not saying that you don't have moments of angst, but I do feel like I've observed that about you. None of that has ever felt particularly driven by angst, because I've seen you like you've seen me, like, back against the wall and pressure and can I keep doing this thing, how long is this sustainable and all that. But I feel like for you it's there's been a kind of simplicity of more like, this is who I am, this is what's in me to do, so I have to just keep doing this and like and see what happens. But it's like, I don't know, I just think there's a purity to it in the sense that like it doesn't feel overthought in that way, like you said, the stuff you were saying about how you take your art seriously but you don't take yourself too seriously. It's just kind of like, well, you know, like I write music that comes from myself and from my soul and about and from my life, and that's what I have to do, and you just kind of have it compromised on that. But I feel like it's like, I don't know, because I feel like a part of what happens with me is that I tend to get real trapped in my head, you know, about how to do it and how to respond to this and that, whereas I feel like you, like, you've been pretty relentlessly focused. I'm like, no, like, this is kind of what's in me to do, and I have to do it. And kind of wherever the chips fall, whatever happens, happens. But I have to do what's in me to do.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have those moments. I haven't even, like, publicly said this, but I remember when, I don't even think I've said this to you yet, but I remember when Common Hymnal was getting ready to record our debut album, I had written way more songs than the ones that I had sang. And trying to figure out which songs I should sing and which songs I should just ask someone else to sing that I knew I had written on was like a task for me. I mean, because I co-wrote on The Kingdom Is Yours. But I love this song. I think it's beautiful. I think it's great. I love the time that I spent with guys writing it. I don't know that I should sing it, though. I don't know that I should sing it. And so it's figuring out what songs I was supposed to sing and which songs I was supposed to just be a part of in the creative and writing process. It was a challenge. And I talked to Malcolm about that type of stuff like several times, like, it was a long conversation. Like every time we had that conversation, it was a long conversation. So it's not been this like easy, carefree, careless, like, oh, I just do what I want. It hasn't been that. Yeah. But when I finally arrive at knowing what it is that I want to do from there, it feels like easy sailing because I'm just trying to set these precedents in my life, which is sometimes difficult because I don't know a lot of people who do what I'm doing. Yeah. I don't know a lot of people that do what I'm doing. I know in country culture, like, you know, everybody knows Amazing Grace, you know, and you can get somebody who sing real good and have them sing How Great Thou Art. But I don't know anybody who's like, oh yeah, I do spiritual or gospel or Christian, however way you want to categorize it. I do that style of music, but it's mainly protest music. Like, yeah. I don't know people who do that.
Right.
So I feel like I'm spending a lot of time, you know, quite often just kind of figuring out what is it that I want to do? What do I want to do? And that's such a loaded question for me. I don't mean to say it so like it's, you know, so breezy, easy breezy question. It really does take some time. That's the little complicated part because I'm trying to do something that I haven't actually seen be done. And if I'm honest, I stumbled upon Common Hymnal and it ended up changing my life in so many ways. But I really did stumble upon it. I wasn't looking for it. I was chilling. I was in college. I was minding my business. And then United Pursuit asked me to come and sing on some backgrounds on their Tell All My Friends record. And Malcolm was there in the studio. And that's kind of how it happened. I wasn't looking for it. I was literally minding my business. I didn't know what a United Pursuit was. And I didn't know what a Malcolm was. I didn't know none of them. And so I was just minding my business, but it changed my life. And I don't take that for granted. Sometimes the best things in life are like that. And so I try to navigate all this with as much sensitivity and just love and, you know, like I said, I try to do the things that I want and the things that I'm doing are the things that I really want to do.
That's amazing, Brittany. It really is. And I get you, by the way, because I feel like in terms of like the uniqueness of what you do, because in a way, gospel and country go together, but that's like in the sense more like people who do like Cracker Barrel gospel. And what you're doing is not Cracker Barrel gospel. No. Protest gospel.
Yeah.
And country. Like this is like, I do feel like you're doing things in terms of their intersections that haven't been explored before. And that's part of what makes it so inspiring and wonderful. And I think it's part of like the, people are going to come for me if we don't go to a song pretty fast. I know people want to hear you sing, but I do think it's part of the power of what happens when you really do follow the question all the way through of what do you want? And I still think this is such a profound idea that I haven't fully come to terms with. I've actually been writing about this as I'm finally wrapping up this manuscript, how powerful this was for me, because like, you know, even several years ago, when I was trying to figure out where I was supposed to be, I just remember this significant conversation I had with my friend Krista, who you've met, of course, and Krista being a very intuitive person. I know deep down, I was kind of hoping to use the vernacular of kind of where I come from, that she was going to give me some kind of a word, like, because I was so wide open. Am I coming to Nashville? Am I going to go to New Orleans? Or go to Los Angeles? What's going to be? And her word was that God had no word for me, that God wanted me to do what I want. And I remember like it was both powerful, but kind of sent me into a whole nother thing, because it's like, oh, well now I have to actually figure out what I want. Because I think especially the idea of coming to terms with what we want in our deepest self. And I think that's where people get this, you know, all wrong. It's like, yeah, everybody has like top level wants, superficial wants that might be kind of silly, but that deepest, truest want of the soul is pretty reliable. And I tend to think like that stuff that's divine, like that's good. You need to know what it is.
Yep.
But excavating that and coming into alignment with the things that the true self really wants, like that can take a minute to discern. And there are all kinds of distractions and things that can pull us away from that. So I think like it's no small thing to like to come to terms with, hey, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. Because I think often what it is that we really want, as counterintuitive as this might be for a lot of people, is what God wants for us. Yeah. And it's okay to want what we want. You know?
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And that principle can just be applied to so many areas of our lives. I'm with you. I agree completely.
Well, I ain't trying to get preachy.
No, you can't.
What do you have for us next, Brittany? Do your thing.
Let's see. This is a song called "Sorry's Don't Work No More," and it's a song. In this song, the person that I'm singing for, they were unfaithful to their partner, and their spouse, and they're kind of battling within themselves how they should go about it. I try to apologize, but I can't seem to find the words. I called you up in August, hoping I could be honest, but you never let me speak. And it hurts me to know you trust in me. Yeah, it hurts me that I let time run out the door, and now my sorries don't work no more. I lie awake, I lie straight to your in hopes of sparing you the pain. In my head, my heart are prisoners, chained to all they remember. You still look at me the same, but I can't bring my guilty lips to say that it hurts. Don't owe me anything. I take all the blame. I know it's hard believing any word I say. Now if I say out loud I let you down time and time again, my apologies we can't even be friends, and it hurts me to know you trust in me. Yeah, it hurts me. I let time run out the door.
Woo. Well, Brittany, I think you know something of how much I love that song. I think when you put it out a few weeks ago, I think I calculated I listened to it somewhere around 50 times within the first 3 days that was out there. Like, that's how much I love that song. It's first of all, it's a melody that feels like it just kind of fell out of heaven. And I told you I wanted you to kind of play whatever, talk about like whatever, because I feel like that will illustrate some of the stuff we're talking about already. But this for me, because I didn't know exactly what I was going to ask. It's like anything that we do together. I try not to overthink it or pre-plan too much. But, you know, it's interesting, Brittany, because I feel like, I love what you do. There's a lot of things that happen like in country music now. I'm not saying it's bad. They don't interest me. I don't know what was on the last Rascal Flatts record or something. It might've been fine. I wouldn't know. I know like when I hear something like this, a song like this, it just, you know, first of all, I mentioned the melody, like the productions on it is perfect. It just, but I mean, like the whole, I mean, I, it's so palpable, just the sense of regret, and it doesn't feel like just sort of another tear in your beer song. Like, I feel like you'd like, I don't know, I feel like right now people don't have easy language for regret. It almost feels like we're not supposed to regret things, or like, is it possible to, you know, to live long enough to have things that you regret, to maybe become somebody else. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. I just, let me say a little bit about what this song means for you, and specifically about just maybe like this is like this emotion of regret and coming to a place of like, and again, I'm not postulating necessarily that this is that the character in the song like is you, but I think most of us have know something of what it is to be in this place of feeling like,
yeah,
having wronged somebody that we care about, words don't cut it, and that's just, I mean, that's very real.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, to kind of take just like my connection to the story out of it for a bit, I feel like people sometimes have a hard time just saying sorry, or really meaning it. Like when people, gosh, like when people find themselves not talking to family members for like years, I don't know, I think we just do wrong and we don't always know how to say sorry. And if I'm honest, like this song, I wrote it because I knew what it was like to be on the receiving end of somebody being like unfaithful. And I felt like I never really got the apology I wanted. I felt like I got an apology, but I didn't feel that regret. And honestly, that regret would have like, it would have fixed some things in my mind.
Wow.
Like, if I'm looking back, I feel like I got the kind of apology that was like, I'm really sorry, but I needed to do this for me. Or like, I'm really sorry, but it's because I figured something out. I never felt like I got the sorry that was like, I hate that this happened. And I am so regretful. Like, I felt like I never really got that. And so that's honestly where the song came out of. And in that sense, regret would have been probably helpful for me.
Yeah. Well, and that's interesting too, Brittany, because like, I feel like it's like giving yourself permission. I mean, I know you're a songwriter, but for anybody to do that, like to kind of go to the place to like, I don't know, imagine the thing that you needed that you didn't get. Like, hear the words that I didn't hear, but it would have meant everything if I would have heard them. Like, that's a really powerful idea.
It would have. I mean, I feel like it would have, you know, done that. But also, there was like a certain like humanness about this song that I kind of wanted to have be there. In the sense that, I mean, everybody's going to need grace sometimes.
Yeah. Know?
And not everybody who keeps a secret is an evil person. Not everybody who does a terrible thing is a monster. And I think we give up on each other really fast sometimes. And so I don't know. And I know this song is in the context of relationships, but I think about that across the board. I mean, I think we put sometimes, I mean, and maybe this is just like a thought stemming from this song in a bit. I think we put a lot of pressure on people to be a certain kind of way. And we don't always allow the opportunity for people to just be themselves or to be human. And that means making mistakes. That means tripping up. That means realizing you have a character flaw and then spending years trying to fix it, because this stuff doesn't change overnight, because we are people and we don't want to change anyway. And so it's already an uphill battle trying to do that. So I don't know. I wanted there to be just a human quality that just humanize what we think are the bad people or the worst things that people could do. I don't know. That's what I kind of thought was present in this song. And I don't know.
That's so powerful. And it's so interesting to me, Brittany, like, cause I know that people are really resonating with this song, and I know that there's no way, I think you could have a scientific answer to this, because how do you know what exactly in a song is like firing things in people's souls and their brains, that kind of thing. But what's your sense of it? Like, do you think that people more resonate with it because they have had an experience where they've been hurt, or because they've done hurting, or maybe it's more like this general sense that it does just give them permission to be human and to feel human things?
I think people resonate with the song because usually you hear the person who was cheated on saying, you know, I'm heartbroken. you rarely hear songs about people who actually did the thing saying, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. Like, it's just, you know, and especially in like country culture, like people will talk about, and not just country culture, a lot of cultures or musical genres kind of talk about something that makes you the outlaw or the bad guy or the rebel, and like, and you celebrate it. And it's cool, you know, like people, you know, say I cuss on Saturday and I go to church on Sunday, like that kind of thing, you know. We celebrate a lot of those things, which I'm not, you know, I'm not against. I think it's wonderful. I wanted to say like, hey, I did something really terrible and oh my God, I shouldn't have. And it really wronged somebody that I love. And so it's, I don't know. I think it kind of, it's just a different perspective, but that goes back to the importance of just sharing stories and hearing different perspectives. And I think because I'm a woman, that kind of made it a thing too. So honestly, I have no idea. All the scientific stuff you just mentioned, I have no idea what those things are, but I'm sure they're out there. But I'm just, I don't know, I'm just grateful that this songs like this can allow me to just, you know, just share and just be open and, you know, and just have dialogue with anybody. I'm sitting at a church right now talking about this song about cheating.
Yeah. No, it's so great. Well, I don't know. I just think like it, well, the very idea though, I thought about it that way, that like it sort of brings, it's a song that really is about like emotional consequences and like that often, how often a lot of our music skips that part. And it's more like, well, here's the story, or like, I'm an outlaw, I'm this, I'm that, or skips to the kind of the punchline, or I learned this from that. Mm-hmm. And this more just kind of is a song that kind of sits with the, you know, no, this is what you're left with, kind of in the moment of the thing.
Dude, that's so important. I mean, I feel like that's so important what you just said, kind of sitting in that moment. We always want to rush past things. We want to rush our process. We want to rush to the end of the story, to where everything is fine and happy, and there's a happy ending to whatever chapter we wish would hurry up and close. But just sitting in that moment, I don't know, it's like a practice that I try to have and embody in my writing, but also just in everything else in our lives, you know, just sitting in that moment and feeling what you need to feel and taking in what you need to take in and not rushing to the next part. I think is important.
Yeah, oh, it's so good, Brittany. I love it. And I think you were gonna do one more song for us?
Yeah. Let's do one more. This is a song called Come and Tear Down the Walls. Come and tear down the walls I've built up. Every wall I've built up. Every wall I've built up. 'Cause you deserve every piece of my heart. Every piece of my heart. Every piece of my heart. Lord, I am trusting that you are a faithful Father, and all that you have is good. You're a generous giver, your love's like no other. Won't you come and break through to me over and over and over again? I am bringing my heart to you with open hands. Closer and closer, you're drawing me in. As the depths of my heart lay before you again. Closer and closer, you're drawing me in. secrets of my heart lay before you again, Lord. Come and tear down the walls I've built up, every wall I've built up, every wall I've built up. Lord, you deserve every piece of my heart, every piece of my heart, every piece of my heart. Lord, come and tear down the walls I've built up, every wall I've built up, every wall I've built up, 'cause you deserve every piece of my heart, every piece of my heart, every piece of my heart. I surrender all. Lord, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Lord, I surrender all. Lord, I surrender.
Thank you, Brittany, so much. And I'll say more about that here in just a second, but I was just reflecting on how I feel like even these, that's what your songs do. And I feel like these songs, even in the sequence, that what kind of the effect that that has of tearing down the walls in our hearts, tearing down the compartments, tearing down like the walls, the things, the ways that, you know, we keep some things over here and like bring us to that place of surrender and bring us back to that place of vulnerability and tenderness, even though we have real reasons to remain guarded, you know, bring us back into that kind of soul space. I know that's what I'm feeling. And I just completely forgot that anything was being recorded or going out to anybody because like it took me into that space. So thank you, Brittany. That's such a gift and always such a gift whenever you're able to be with me and with us.
Jonathan, I love you so much. Thank you for all that you do. It's needed. It's so needed. Thank you so much.
Well, I love you, friend. I love that we get to do stuff like this together. You know, I want to have you as much as possibly around. I mean, I know you're blowing up, but as much as we could possibly keep around, you know, again, I am literally evangelistic about what you do and who you are. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zeitcast with Jonathan Martin. The Zeitcast is brought to you by the generosity of our patrons. Enjoying this podcast, consider rating it, writing a review, or sharing with a friend. We couldn't do this without you. To learn more about Jonathan and to support this podcast, visit jonathanmartinwords.com.